This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. It is Friday, and we're looking ahead to Monday in the next few moments because at the state legislature, it is a critical day. Legislation has to pass at least one chamber by the end of the day on Monday in order to continue through the session, and there are a lot of big bills still pending. Joining me, the folks who have been at the Capitol from the beginning, WABE's Michelle Wirth has covered the Senate, and Jonathan Shapiro, the House. Welcome to both of you. Good to have you.
Good to be here, Dennis.
Good to be here, Dennis.
Michelle, let's start with you. In the Senate, a very important bill, a very controversial bill, leads off on Monday, and this is a debate over abortion. Tell us a little bit about that one.
That's right. Well, the bill would ban abortion coverage from state employee insurance policies, and it would also prohibit coverage for Georgians participating in the health care exchange run by the federal government under the Affordable Care Act.
So it's basically saying if you're a state employee or if you're in that federal exchange, no insurance coverage for abortion.
Exactly, exactly.
Democrats probably going to line up against it, but do the Republicans have the votes at this point?
The Republicans definitely have the votes, but it's something that Democrats are really lining up in opposition to, and they're going to try to make this one of their biggest issues this session. 2 years ago, when the 20-week abortion ban was debated, there are actually several women senators who actually walked out of the Senate chamber. I have been in contact with Democrats. I don't know if they're going to try something like that again. They said that they're planning something, but they're being very quiet about what that something is. So we'll just have to wait and see whether it will be something large, whether it will be something small, whether it will be something like just adding a bunch of amendments to try to kill the bill.
Anything else big in the Senate coming up?
There is actually something else coming up in the Senate. They're going to vote on a referendum, a potential referendum on the elimination of the state's ad valorem tax. And that's controversial. Democrats say that really what this would do, in addition to legislation that already passed the Senate to cap the state's income tax at 6%, would be to make it so that the state's tax code really could not be modernized. Would make it more difficult for those efforts. But Republicans, on the other hand, say that this is another way of easing the tax burden.
And that one will probably get a lot of debate as well.
You can bet on that.
Jonathan Shapiro, over in the House, it's a little more complicated because in addition to what's on the calendar already, the House has a kind of a special rule that allows them to add things as they go along. So what's on the calendar that we know of so far?
Probably the most high-profile bill on the calendar. Well, that's not on the calendar right now, but that is expected to get a vote is HB 990. That's a Jan Jones bill. She's Speaker pro tem. The bill would shift power from the governor's office to the legislature on expanding Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act. Highly controversial, and it's become a proxy war over the whole idea of Medicaid expansion in Georgia. Governor Deal has come out strongly against Medicaid expansion since it became optional back in 2012. But the legislature is, and Republicans at the legislature are trying to
They're trying to make sure he doesn't change his mind and allow Medicaid expansion, it sounds like.
Well, and some have also speculated that Republicans are also trying to make sure that no matter who's the governor, I mean, if let's say Governor Nathan Deal lost for reelection, which, you know, right now polling doesn't indicate that. But if that were to happen, then they would have a safeguard for whoever's in the governor's office to not expand Medicaid.
Another controversial bill in the House, which is expected to come up, although I understand, Jonathan, it's, again, not on the calendar at this point. And that's a bill that would basically keep the state from doing anything to advance Obamacare in Georgia.
Yeah, it would prohibit the use of funds attached with the Affordable Care Act by local governments and state government. It would prohibit things like the University of Georgia Health Plan Navigator Program, all those navigators that are helping people navigate the health insurance exchange. That would no longer be allowed. Also, here in Atlanta, Mayor Kasim Reed held a promotional event for the health exchange, a sign-up and a promotional event for the health exchange. That also would be prohibited under this bill.
Intense debate, I imagine, expected on that bill. And that is, again, one that if it does not pass on Monday would be presumed to be dead for the session. Another one that's on the calendar, and this one deals with, again, the kind of social issues, debate over the role of religion in state government. This one would have a monument on the Capitol grounds with a lot of documents as part of it, founding documents of the country, but includes the Ten Commandments, which has been a big debate for many years at the state capitol.
It would allow a monument on the Capitol grounds that includes the preamble of the Georgia Constitution, a portion of the Declaration of Independence, and the Ten Commandments, which is the controversial part. And actually, in the Capitol right now, in the basement, there are documents. There is an exhibit that features these documents right now that includes the Ten Commandments, and that bill has made it out of committee and is scheduled for a floor vote. Another bill that is not on the calendar right now, but likely will get a vote on the House floor Monday, is HB 1080, which would pave the way for an MLK statue, a Martin Luther King Jr. statue, to be placed somewhere on the Capitol grounds. The location, statue design, and funding right now are unknown, and the backers of the statue say that funding should not be an issue at all. It is going to be raised privately, and it's a bipartisan bill. You have some very high-ranking GOP officials signed onto it now, including House Majority Leader Larry O'Neill.
Let's take a look at some of the bills that have gotten a great deal of attention over the last few weeks. One of them, the medical marijuana bill. This would allow for the legalization of medical marijuana to treat some conditions, and it limits the form in which marijuana could be dispensed, even under medical conditions. Jonathan, what's the latest on that one?
Well, that's likely to come up for a vote on Monday, despite it not being on the calendar yet. But basically, the bill would allow doctors at a handful of academic research centers to prescribe an oil extract of marijuana. I mean, that's a key distinction. It doesn't include any of the THC that is known to get people high. It would only be prescribed for example, children with seizures. The academic research centers that are included in the bill are University of Georgia, Georgia Regents University, Emory University, Mercer University, and Morehouse College. Most people are unaware that the state already actually has a medical cannabis or medical marijuana law on the books. In the early 80s, legislators empowered a state-appointed board of physicians to prescribe cannabis sativa to cancer and glaucoma patients, and that's just for clinical studies. But because of funding issues and because of political pressure, that board has basically been inactive. This Alan Peake bill out of Macon would restore some funding for that board and get that state-appointed board of physicians up and running again to do these clinical studies.
Another bill dealing with medical issues and with children, Michelle, is the bill that would mandate coverage for autism for kids under 6 years old. This is an issue of money rather than a question of medicine. What's the latest on that one?
Well, that bill passed last week, and it's heading over to the House, where it's actually expected to run into a little bit of trouble. It was passed overwhelmingly by the Senate because it's very personal to several senators on that side who have actually been working for several years to pass this in one form or another. Senator Tommy Williams, the daughter of his niece, actually has autism, and she's actually responded very well to treatment. So this bill is very personal to him. Also, Renee Unterman, her late son, she believed that he had autism, and she spoke about that on the Senate floor this week, got very emotional, talked about how when he was young, they didn't know what autism was. She took him for all kinds of treatment. Later, he actually ended up committing suicide, and she said that she's seen children who have responded to treatment, and she just wants to make sure that there are other children who would have that opportunity, and this would give children that opportunity who have autism. But on the House side, why it's expected to run into trouble, they see it as a mandate on businesses. And NFIB is against
National Federation of Independent Business. Yeah.
Yeah, they're against it too. So the Senate wanted to send a strong message. That's why they debated it for so long, even though they had the votes. And they're hoping that they can win conservatives over on the House side.
Jonathan, taking a look at another bill, this is dealing with food stamp recipients. There's a bill that would require drug testing for people who get food stamps or now the electronic cards that are the latter-day version of food stamps. What's the latest on that one?
That's just made it out of the House Judiciary Committee and could be up for a floor vote on Monday as well. Now, that bill is coming despite legal challenges here in Georgia and then also a recent court ruling out of Florida that said that these drug tests for government programs like this were unreasonable search and seizures. And it has an uphill battle to pass because of those legal challenges. But again, not on the calendar, but could be up for a vote on Monday.
Let's take a look at some bills that people might wonder, okay, what happened to that one? It got a lot of coverage, but many of these have actually passed one chamber. So the fight over them might not happen Monday, but it might happen a little bit later on. Michelle, one of the more recent ones was the creation of the city of Lakeside. And that's been very controversial in DeKalb County because there's also proposals for Briarcliff and Tucker. It made it out of the Senate, but is there a sense that it might have trouble in the House?
Those who are sponsoring other cities would say that it is going to run into trouble. So I'm not sure it will, but, you know, those who are sponsoring the other cities say that it is going to. And one of the indications that they use is the fact that when Senator Fran Miller spoke about the Lakeside bill on the Senate floor, he mentioned a compromise in terms of combining Lakeside and the city of Tucker. And they said, well, that just shows that, you know, voters might not go for this if it goes before them. Fran Miller obviously disagreed with that and said, well, I just don't want to leave anybody in my district out. And that's why I want to enlarge this. Mm-hmm. But, well, it remains to be seen. And in fact, it remains to be seen whether or not, because the boundaries overlap, whether this legislation, any of these cities will pass this year. But there's another bill that would actually look at the DeKalb governance and study all of this. And then, you know, perhaps one of these or several of these could pass another session if they don't pass this year.
Jonathan, a bill that actually passed the House last year, two bills, deal with the structure, really, of the MARTA board. These were very controversial when they passed last year. Been very quiet this year, kind of sitting in the Senate. But what's the sense that you get about whether they might actually come out?
It's unlikely because the chairman of MARTOC, the
oversight committee,
the MARTA oversight committee, has become very friendly with the new CEO and general manager of MARTA, Keith Parker. Last year, he had proposed that legislation, not really knowing where MARTA would be going under his leadership. He has since had very nice things to say about him in the newspaper and in several media outlets. And it appears that he doesn't want to be doing anything to distract or interfere with Parker's plan to put MARTA in the black, get it out of the red and put it into the black and put it on more stable financial ground.
There have been very few bills that have made it through both houses at this point. That's pretty normal for this time of year. But there is one that has pretty much sailed through and has gone to the governor. And, Michelle, that's the one that eliminates two at-large seats on the DeKalb Board of Education.
Right. That happened just last week. It was passed by the House earlier, and then the Senate actually approved that legislation this week. And it went to the governor, and the governor's actually signed it. There was debate over it, though, when it was in the Senate. There was an amendment put forward by some Democrats that would have kept the composition at 9 members. The reason that they said it was needed is because they said, you know, the DeKalb School Board has had a lot of issues, but now it's working well. And the two at-large members are actually both African-American. And they said that the DeKalb NAACP was going to oppose it if they removed two African-American board members, especially because the school system has a large number of African-Americans within it. And actually, I spoke with the head of the DeKalb NAACP today, and he says that they are likely going to challenge this.
In court, perhaps?
In court.
Two other major issues, and Jonathan, I'll start with you. The most controversial bill, perhaps, of the entire session, and this is the bill that would expand, again, the list of places where permit holders could carry guns.
That's right. Among the provisions, it would lift restrictions on guns in churches and bars. Basically, property owners would have the option to allow or prohibit guns on their property. It would also allow school boards to arm administrators and teachers. It would also allow guns in local government buildings if security isn't already present. It would reduce the penalties for accidentally bringing your gun to the airport. And then it would also reduce the penalty for carrying guns on college campuses. It would make that a simple $100 fine rather than an arrestable offense.
And where is that one?
That one has passed the House. It passed overwhelmingly in the House, and it's headed to the Senate now. And it's very unclear as to how the Senate is going to react to it. Last year, the House passed a similar bill, and in the last days of session last year, The Senate balked at some of the provisions, including campus carry, or most prominently, campus carry. The Board of Regents and college and university presidents came out very strongly against campus carry. The plan this year was to perhaps make campus carry optional for college and university presidents. But right before session started, legislative attorneys said that it would likely be unconstitutional for college presidents to have that power. So instead of completely throwing out the idea of campus carry, the bill authors came up with an idea to reduce the penalty for those with permits, 21 years of age or older, to carry guns on college campuses and not have it be an arrestable offense, to only have it be a misdemeanor and a $100 fine. And so it's unclear whether or not the Board of Regents, college and university presidents, are going to go for this.
Michelle, also on education, but a totally different take here. The House passed a bill that's coming over to the Senate where you are, and this is one that would basically restore full coverage for full tuition coverage for technical college students. These are the ones who get the HOPE grant. This is not the HOPE scholarship. But those technical college students who maintain a very high grade point average, they'd get full tuition under this bill. And it's headed for the Senate. Any indication from the Senate as to just what its fate might be?
Haven't heard anything about that bill at all. Most education bills, depending on what they are, have been favorably received.
And the thing to know about that is that a Democrat is sponsoring that bill, and it's a very bipartisan bill. And Stacey Evans, the Democrat that is the primary bill
author.
She's
from Cobb County, a Democrat from Cobb County.
She's been working with Governor Deal on that. And that's something that the funding for that bill is already in the governor's recommended budget for FY15. So it has a very good shot at passing.
Yeah, I think it will pass because obviously the Republicans are in control of the Senate and the governor wants it. But you never know.
Let's move to bills that apparently are not going to make the deadline, at least as we speak now. And there was one, Jonathan, that was in the House, was very controversial and showed no signs of going anywhere anyway. This was one that would have eased the movement restrictions on sex offenders who had already served their time. It was proposed by a Republican and then was bashed by all the other Republicans.
So, yeah, the bill is coming from Sam Moore out of Cherokee County, and the critics of the bill said it would have allowed registered sex offenders to move freely in schools and playgrounds. Moore was saying that it was an effort to eliminate the state's anti-loitering laws. He argued that police are unlawfully IDing people without cause. He's a very staunch libertarian. That bill got to the first reading, and before it was even put in committee, House leaders tore it apart on the House floor. It became a real media frenzy over the bill. And eventually, Moore had to apologize for even introducing it and withdrew the bill ultimately.
And two other bills that appear to be dead are actually two different versions of the same thing, Jonathan, and that is the Religious Freedoms Bill. These are the bills that would say that people cannot be hindered by the government in the exercise of their religion. Critics say it could mean an open door to discrimination against gay and lesbian people.
Yeah, opponents said it would have allowed private business owners to cite their religious beliefs as a reason to deny service to gay customers. It got a lot of pushback from LGBT advocates. It eventually, in the House side, stalled in the Judiciary Committee, and on the Senate side, stalled in Rules Committee. Now, these bills were also caught up in the national debate over these bills, especially the one going on in Arizona, which was just recently vetoed by the governor over there. But it was very interesting how it played out here in Georgia. Like those other states, businesses spoke out very strongly against the legislation, saying, for instance, Delta Airlines said that it violated their core values as a company. Coca-Cola, Home Depot, they all took stances, very public stances, against these bills.
Right. Meanwhile, but Senator Josh McCoon said that people who are religious are actually under attack in Georgia, and that was his main primary reason for sponsoring it. So that's the other side of this.
Yeah, he was the sponsor on the Senate side. So, yeah. But again, it appears that both of those bills, as we speak, are not going anywhere. But, of course, on Monday, who knows what could happen.
They appear dead for now.
Right. Jonathan Shapiro and Michelle Wirth, Jonathan on the House side, Michelle on the Senate side, you're both going to have a busy day on Monday. Thanks to both of you for being here.
Thanks, Dennis.
Thank you for having us.